Good morning. How gorgeous morning. Week before last, we had our week of prayer. And we thought it would be good to spend some time just thinking about prayer together, reminding ourselves about how it works. But in particular, I wanted to give opportunity, and we as a team wanted to give opportunity for you to share with us whether God spoke to you, how you felt about it, what was happening during our week of prayer. So we're going to pass the mic round in a little while, and you can say what just happened to you, what you felt it was like. But before we do that, I thought it'd be good just to have a few reminders about why we're here and what it's all about. You recall that our vision as a community together is to partner with the Holy Spirit in the building of His kingdom. That's what we're here for. And our mission is to love and honor and worship God together and to be a gateway into His kingdom for those who are not yet in it. And there's plenty of people not yet in it, isn't there? Lots of people. But as we've heard already this morning, there are already lots of people in the kingdom. But to hear from God is really important if we want to partner with the Holy Spirit. As partnering with Him means that we're talking to Him, we're communicating with Him, and we're hearing His voice. So that's why for this season we've set ourselves on Sundays to try and improve our ability to hear God in different ways and to discern what He's saying, to understand His heart so that we can partner with Him. At the beginning of the year, those of us in the eldership said we've got three priorities for this year as we seek to do those things that we're called to do. And the first one was prayer. The first thing that we set as a goal, as something to aim at, something to improve at this year was prayer. The second one was discipleship, which means we just want to grow in our relationship with God and being more and more like Jesus for the community and for each other and for those that are not yet in the kingdom. And the third one was to improve in our ability to reach out to those who are not yet in the kingdom. Just three things: prayer, discipleship, and reaching out. So we're going to talk a little bit about prayer this morning. I want to go back right to first principles. You see, prayer, in its very essence, is just a conversation between you or me and our Heavenly Father. Or sometimes with Jesus, or sometimes with the Holy Spirit. I think often when we pray to one of them, I think all three are listening. Do you get that sense sometimes? And it's a two-way thing. We talk about listening to God, but actually it's hearing God that is really important, isn't it? It's hearing. Hearing what He has to say and then speaking to Him. That's it, isn't it? It's as simple as that. It's just a conversation. And we don't want to make it too complicated. And we have the assurance of knowing that the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit who is in each of us who are born again, each of us who have committed to Christ, each of us have the Holy Spirit to help us to pray, to engage in that conversation. Because His job is to help us bless the Father, and His job is to help us hear His voice. And we've got Him with us. And not only that, it says that He takes our words and presents them perfect to the Father. Isn't that a relief? That is great, isn't it? That whatever you say, however you say it, he is going to take it and present it faultless, perfect. Wow, that's incredible. The other amazing thing is that God knows exactly what you're going to say, or I'm going to say, before we say it. So why does he need to hear it? Good question, isn't it? If he knows what we're thinking, what's happened to us, what we're going to say, why does he want us to say it? I want to go right back to Genesis. In Genesis, right at the beginning, we have the creation story. How God put everything together. And then at one little point, we hear that God was walking in the Garden of Eden. At that particular point, Adam and Eve were not with him because they were hiding. But he gives us a clue as to, I wonder how many times God had walked with them in the garden. And walking and talking with them in the garden was really what I believe he loved to do. So right at the beginning of creation, he sets his stall out. That's why he made man and woman in the first place, because he wants the conversation. He wants us to talk to him and him talk to us. He wants to walk with us. Even though he knows all about us, he knows what we've done, he knows what we haven't done, he knows what we're thinking, he knows what we're going to say, but he desires conversation. Let's jump forward. Jesus had lots of conversations with his dad. Depending on which bit of the stuff you look up, there's at least 25, some say 29 verses where Jesus prays in the Gospels. Now actually, as a good Jewish boy, he would have learned that actually praying every day was what you did. So I think he prayed more than 25 times in his life, don't you? Matthew 14 says this, after the feeding of the 5,000, we read, he sent the crowds away, and he went to a mountain to pray. And then the next thing we read is that he walked on water. His human self would have said, can I do this? But he had this conversation with his dad, and his dad said, get out there, boy. Walk across the water. Luke records this. He says, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray and spent the whole night in prayer. Let's have a show of hands. Anybody spent the whole night in prayer? Oh, very good. Look at that. I didn't expect three. I have to confess I haven't done that yet. But Jesus did it. And then we read that he appointed the 12, called them out, named them. Those were the 12. So what's going on here? Jesus is in conversation with his father, with his dad. He's checking things out. He's getting some confidence. He's getting some instructions. He's finding out who, when, where. The scene in the garden, we remember, when he prayed. And he opened his heart and he said to his dad, I'm struggling with this, Dad. I'm struggling with it. But your will be done. He was being very real with his dad. But at the end of the day, he said, "Dad, your will be done." So what about us? Where do we get our instructions? When do we know who, when, and where, and when to go? When to step out on the water? Jesus said he did nothing on his own. He only did what he saw the Father doing. Didn't he? Nothing on his own. He didn't make up his own mind up and just go for it. He listened. He had the conversation with his dad. His disciples, having seen him pray, asked him, "Can you teach us to do it?" And we have that recorded for us, don't we, in Luke 11. Breaks down into four bits, really. First of all, he says, talk to the Father. Open yourselves up to the Father. Honor him. Declare to him, tell him, your will be done. Submit to him. And when you've done all that, then you can ask him, give us. And having given them this pattern, he said to them, explained to them a little story. He said, go boldly. Go boldly to prayer. Ask and seek and knock. Keep going. Go at it. And he told them another story about how the Father's heart responds. And he says this, the Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. He wants to give. He wants to give. Isn't that great? It's fantastic. Paul, writing to the Thessalonian Christians, gives us another bit of a clue. He mentions three things. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, he says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. A bit of a tall order, isn't it, sometimes? A bit of a tall order. So we have no excuse to be miserable or to be ungrateful or not to pray continually. Now, the problem is that when you say prayer is this organized thing that we day and we say these particular words and we only do it on a Sunday between 10 and 10 past or we only do it, how can we pray continually? What he's talking about is having this continual open ear and being able to have a conversation with God wherever you are, whatever you're doing, inviting him to be in your stuff and just listening to his voice. So if you're down the shops or you're working at a lathe or you're teaching somebody, or you're cooking something, it means you can still be having that open ear and that conversation. See, it's not complicated. It doesn't have to be special words. He just wants to talk to you and me and for us to listen. So always being in conversation, always being ready to chat with God about things is fantastic. What we did last week, and the week before last, was to meet together to pray. Because what I've spoken about is us individually, isn't it? But we met together to pray. And there are some things that are really special about us getting together to pray. Just after the crucifixion, the disciples met together. We don't actually know what they did, but when they were together, Jesus came. Not once, but twice it's recorded. And when the scripture gives us something twice, it's a good reminder that it's important. So coming together for us is an opportunity for Jesus to come. After the ascension, we read that they all joined together constantly in prayer, including the women. You remember that Jesus said, where two or three of you are together in my name, I am there. He said, I'm not just coming, I'm there. Acts 2, we read that the early church set themselves up to do four things. They devoted themselves, Acts 2 says, to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. Four things. That was church. Simple as that, wasn't it? Learning through the apostles' teaching, having fellowship together, breaking bread together, remembering what he'd done, and prayer. And why were they encouraged to pray? Because when they prayed, when they came together, Jesus came. Acts 4 gives us another little clue into how this works. Peter and John were in prison and then were miraculously released. And when they were released, they went to someone's house. And they found lots of people who were praying. And these folks, when they realized that Peter and John had been released and were able to join them, they raised their voices in prayer together and proclaimed the acts of God. And after they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. Wouldn't that be amazing? Oh, we might have the odd picture fall off the wall, but wouldn't matter, would it? Because feeling the tangible presence of God with us is such a thrill. It's a wonderful thing. The effect of that, it says, was that they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke boldly. So coming together, where God came, had two effects on them. Firstly, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke boldly. We get to Acts 12 and Peter is in prison again. It says, when he was released and he realized that what had happened to him through the angel and the miracle coming out, he realized it was real and he went to the house of Mary where many were praying. So they kept getting together. They devoted themselves, it said. It wasn't just a casual thing, but they devoted themselves to getting together to pray. Praying together is such a powerful thing. We read of Paul and Silas, don't we, in prison. There's a lot of prison in Acts, isn't there? They're in chains, they're in prison, and they're praying and they're singing. And what happens? An earthquake miracle. And then another miracle because they're released. And another miracle because the jailer and his family are saved. You see, God does stuff when we get together to pray. I'm not a great reader, but I was looking at something the other day, and not many of us can cast our minds back to 1949 to 52. No. 1949 to 52 was a really special time in the Hebrides in Scotland. There was an outpouring of the Spirit of God, and thousands of people were saved. And the writer of this little bit that I was reading said he had the opportunity some years later to go and speak to people who were alive at the time and find out a little bit about it. He said, I spoke to 11 eyewitnesses. And they said that prayer was the key to what had happened. It had unlocked something in this extraordinary time. They experienced what they called travailing in prayer, like working in prayer. They described it as being agonizing and yet thrilling. This was a really tough time for them in prayer, but the results were that the kingdom of God was opened to thousands of people. They described their brokenness and their desperation as they prayed. It was as if the Holy Spirit gave them a particular heart, an unction to really hang in with God together. And as they did that together, they prayed. And if you read histories of revivals over the years, you'll find that there are people whom God has touched to pray and pray and pray. I read one other little bit about one in America in the 1800s where one person decided he would go and pray, but he advertised it around. And the first night he set to pray, there was just him. The second night, there were six of them. Within 6 months, they had five churches, at least with 4,000 or 5,000 people in each of them, praying together. Because God did something extraordinary. Paul describes prayer like that a little bit. He talks about his prayer for the Galatians. He says, my prayer for you is like being in pains of childbirth. Now, he hadn't got personal experience, obviously, of what that was like. But he talked to people who had. And anybody who's been through that experience, as far as I understand it, there is pain, but there is joy. The result of the pain is joy. So we're committed as a community to press in to God together, to keep doing this prayer thing. And what I want to leave with you is a picture, or a couple of pictures. We're going to pop the first one up, Josh, if you wouldn't mind. Anyone know what that is? That's a snowdrop. Yeah, one snowdrop. It's a beautiful thing. And my prayer for you and prayer for me is that we, individually, are able to grow in our ability to have conversations with God. Just chatting to Him. That would be full of joy, that would be full of prayer, and that we'd be thankful. And then, of course, we have the next picture, which is some of us getting together to pray. And as we come together to pray, the picture gets bigger. And the effect of that one clump gets bigger. And we will experience Jesus coming to us more and more, I believe, as we pray together. And as we pray together, we'll see the next picture. It's a bigger clump. There's more. There's more people joining us. There are more people coming into the kingdom of God because we have committed ourselves to pray and God has acted. And the last picture. You can't even count them. Do you know how big the kingdom of God is? It is immense. It is huge. And God's heart is that it is filled with people like you and me, saved by his grace. It's a great place to be, isn't it?